next item on the agenda, public hearing, consideration of amendments to Chapter 4 VAC 29-2010 pertaining to landing license pertaining to summer flounder. Mr. Gillingham.
Begin by going back over some of the information that I provided you last month when we requested a public hearing, in part because of the just a public hearing. We obviously have a pretty good crowd, and also there have been a few additions. the summer flounder quota is really partitioned into two chunks, the biggest chunk of which is called the offshore quota. It's fish, summer flounder, that are caught outside state waters, usually by trawl boats, to a lesser degree by some of the scallop boats. But one thing is consistent: in order to land fish from federal waters, outside state waters, you must have a summer flounder endorsement license. And if you fish for flounder in federal waters, you also need a federal summer flounder moratorium permit. To qualify for Virginia's summer flounder endorsement license, an individual must have landed in Virginia and sold 500 pounds or more of summer flounder during any portion of a three-year period, 1993, 94, or 95. The commission received a request from a Virginia commercial hook and line license holder who was desiring some limited access to this offshore summer flounder quota. His rationale was, in the qualifying years of 1993 through 95, commercial hook and line license holders were limited to the recreational possession limit and size limit, and therefore none of them met the summer flounder endorsement license requirement. Staff reviewed this. It was also discussed at FMAC, the discussion item, and we thought it had merit. And we are proposing to establish a restricted summer flounder endorsement license, and this would be for individuals who possess a lawful commercial hook and line license as established in 4VAC 20-995 and a federal moratorium permit. We have looked at the data a little closer, and staff is comfortable with a modest vessel possession limit of 200 pounds, and that would be in 4VAC 20-620. And we propose to allow harvest year-round or until the National Marine Fisheries Service has determined and announced Virginia's quota has been harvested. Administratively, we'll handle. Won't have agents or transfers. We're proposing we can monitor it just by tracking the number of the restricted license issued. Any flounder caught in federal waters the individual must have a flounder moratorium permit and therefore must sell and report to a federally licensed dealer. We are also proposing to require the restricted summer flounder license holder to report to us on his regular monthly form, just stipulate it was caught in federal waters. And through the mandatory reporting, we would check for compliance. Last week, this item was brought back to FMAC with the what staff was proposing, and they supported it unanimously. Some of the information we were able to provide them last week, and now you're seeing in your packet, this is the number of pounds harvested and landed from Virginia waters by commercial hook and line license holders since the gear license was established in 1993. And you see a upward trend. To put that in context, so far this year, because that last value is 2010, it's under 64,000 pounds. Virginia's overall quota is in the 3 million pound range. We know that a good number of, there's roughly 200 commercial hook and line license holders, and we see a fair percentage are reporting at least a pound of summer flounder. The data is complete for 2009, and there was about 67 of the permit holders that reported harvest. So far this year, and that's probably through September, there's 60 that have reported harvest. This was really what we looked at and said, you know, 200 pounds looks like a reasonable number. These are the number of commercial hook and line trips that reported flounder and the number of pounds. You see the majority of those trips were 50 pounds or less. Roughly 250 were 50, over 50 pounds to 100 pounds. Lesser still, 70 or so, or 100 pounds to 150 pounds. And once you got out to here greater than 200 pounds, there were actually only 8 trips reported in 2009. To give you an idea of where summer flounder stands in terms of commercial hook and line landings, over here on the far left, you see striped bass. That's, I have to point out that that is a special commercial hook and line license. It's not limited. Anyone can get a commercial hook and line license, say anyone. Any registered waterman could purchase a gear license for striped bass only, as long as they have striped bass quota. So you do see that flounder is, in terms of total pounds, has been the most popular and probably one of the more profitable fish to land by commercial hook and line license. And I know there were some questions about, well, is this a good time or what the status of the stock? I just put this in here. This is the press release from Atlantic States Marine Fisheries dated in August of this year, and we see that there's going to be an increase in the total allowable catch coastwide, and that's split commercial recreational, but a significant increase of 7.35 million pounds for next year. This is a kind of a summary diagram of the summer flounder assessment for 2010, actually through 2010. And you also, it's always great to see some good news. You see the same thing, that the spawning stock biomass and the recruits are increase, and particularly the recruit index for 2009 was on par with the highest in the time period, and that goes back to 1983. Okay, with this, you know, whenever you see blue paper, there's been a problem somewhere. I think I'll take care of what changes were made on that blue paper first, because it really doesn't pertain to what this public hearing is about. If you look at 920 to begin with, under the definition section, land or landing, there was, as we looked at this, notice that there were some, I call them typos, but changes that were made to that definition. That's the only change in 920 that wasn't in your initial pack.
Okay.
For 620, it was pointed out to us that the term land or landing was really better defined in 920. And so what we have done is we've struck how that term was defined in 620 and made it consistent with the definition in 920. Additionally, on page 5 of 9, there was a couple of collateral changes that I missed as I made changes to the regulation. You'll notice that section references subsection H. Well, subsection H, because a section was added, became subsection I. And so those two changes were added to that, and that was not in your packet. Okay. Now I'll move on to what we are proposing. Again, in 920, slide here, but I want to point out it's actually the location my right page. Should put it all on slides. On page 2 of 5, section 4 of Act 20-920-40, this is where we establish the restricted summer flounder endorsement license, and subsection A also references that. Then the real substantive part of that is who is eligible for that restricted summer flounder endorsement license. Staff is proposing that to be eligible for the restricted summer flounder endorsement license, a person must be a legal Virginia commercial hook and line licensee. And I think I mentioned that those licenses are capped at 200, and own a vessel issued a valid summer flounder moratorium permit. The person shall complete an application for the restricted summer flounder endorsement license by providing to the commission a notarized and signed statement of his name, address, telephone number, boat, vessel name, and its registration or documentation number, and a copy of the vessel's federal summer flounder moratorium permit. Additionally, last month there was a question raised about, want staff to be certain that the landing limit can be enforced and exactly how it would be measured by law enforcement. You'll see now section F references any possession limit described in this section shall be determined by the weight of pound summer flounder customary pack. And notice that the change, section D, is in this section covered by that.
Thank
regulation.
You.
And with that, I'll miss a slide. Somewhere there should be
staff recommendation.
Staff recommendation, but I want to also read the section where the 200-pound possession limit is established. But anyhow, the staff recommendation is 200-pound vessel possession limit, and that would eliminate permit stacking, putting multiple license holders on the same vessel. It's not on the, even though the commercial hook and line license is on the individual, the possession limit's on the vessel. Staff recommendation is to adopt the proposed amendments to 4VAC 2920 to establish a restricted summer flounder endorsement license and it's a qualifying criteria contained in subsection A and G of 40 and 4VAC 2620-10. And those changes are contained, which I was looking for, and contained in 620-40, subsection A and D, which establishes the vessel possession limit and the landing period for the restricted summer flounder endorsement license. Answer any questions.
Any questions on Mr. Gillingham by members of the commission? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lewis, following the last meeting, staff indicated that there was really just one person that you were aware of that met these criteria for the limited access permit or for the endorsement license. Is that still the case? And do you still expect it to be a minimal expansion?
Exactly who might hold. I think that there's one or two others that I, just off the top of my head, there's a 70 to 80% chance that they don't currently, they did it one time. These permits, both the federal moratorium permit and the commercial hook and line license are worth money. It's a piece of paper, but it's worth wealth, and they just don't hand them out. You may hear testimony today that the commercial hook and line license is worth on the open market somewhere. If I wanted one, it would be $5,000 to $10,000 to obtain that, and possibly more. And I've seen usually the federal moratorium permit is sold as a package deal where they get other various federal permits plus a summer flounder license from Virginia so they can land in a state. And they're worth a lot of money. It's
yep.
Not something that if I've got a skiff and decided, hey, I want to do this, it's probably not worth my while. Yeah, but we're thinking even more so. I know last month I indicated I thought it would be a very limited number of folks. And there's not a gold mine out there in summer flounder to be caught on commercial hook and line.
Further questions? Thank you, Lewis. This is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to be heard on this matter? Yes, sir. Come forward. State your name, please.
Jim Dawson, commercial hook and line fisherman and federal moratorium permit holder.
Good to see you, Mr. Dawson.
Appreciate the work that went into this. One particular issue and problem that I had was the 93 to 95 time frame that was used, that we were held and restricted to recreational bag limits and forced to fish for other species of fish at that time. Most of us went, you know, in the ocean or, you know, fished for other species that weren't limited. But also for the endorsement license, even though that I held the federal moratorium permit, I was never notified of this endorsement license. So I don't know what happened or the miscommunication, but I'd like, you know, be appreciated if, you know, we follow through with what we're doing. One thing that I'd like to talk about is the potential is you saw the graph up there how none of the commercial hook and line fishermen basically go over 200 pounds. If they made that across the board, you wouldn't have to worry about a vessel coming in and worrying about, well, was he offshore or inshore? I mean, if you made it 200 pounds, whether he was inshore or offshore, that way you know there's no issue. Because one of the things that I'm worried about is the potential to cheat, or somebody setting a net or pulling up to another boat and then they're taking it, you know, because they can bring in whatever they want if they're inshore, you know, because we're not restricted to poundage. So I think that'll eliminate that concern. The 200 pounds, the ocean fish are a lot larger than the inshore fish, so it doesn't take much to get to the 200 pounds. I've been over 200 pounds out there before, but that's a good, you know, you can stop at that number and be happy when you're flounder fishing. And like he was saying, the federal moratorium permits are not split up. You can't just say, well, I want just your flounder off of this. They're sold in packages, and usually it's hundreds of thousands of dollars for, you know, they just don't do that. So they're really not easy to get. So you don't have to worry about, you know, the 200 guys going out and grabbing one, right, because it's just not available. And that's all I really have to say about that. It's something that, you know, the fishery has come back exponentially. We're just seeing a lot more fish out there, and it would be nice to be able to do that, but I really feel strongly. I mentioned the 200 pounds myself, and I think that's a good number to and to do it across the board.
So, thank you for your input. Anyone else? Yes, sir, and then Chris.
Greg South, a commercial hook and line fisherman. In regards to that comment about limiting to 200 pounds, whether you consider I was lucky enough or skilled enough, I happen to be one of those anglers. I think I counted for three of those 200-pound days. The most I had in any one day was 255 pounds. Now, that was 3 days out of fishing over 30 days, and I would like to say that the last 3 days that I fished, I had 17 pounds, 28 pounds, and most recently 6 pounds. So I feel like, you know, to limit me to 200 pounds, you know, is a penalty, because there are plenty of other days that I fish that I don't even make my expenses if I had to go out to do that. So the really good days for me help to offset the really bad days. So I don't have any problem with the 200 pounds as far as the offshore is concerned, but if you're thinking of limiting the 200 pounds to everybody all the time, that is a penalty for people who are fortunate enough to be able to catch 200 pounds a day.
Thank you, Mr. South. Chris, take your time. Don't break the other one. There you go.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Ludford. I'm a general purpose commercial hook and line license holder. I'm going to save most of my comments for a couple of the later items, but I did want to make comment here, and I thought we had had some consensus from industry, and I'm hoping that Mr. Dawson will reconsider after I talk and hearing the other person. But we agreed that a 200-pound limit, something that he saw fit, would be good for the federal waters trip, because we didn't want to see the ability for other gear types, namely trawlers, to be able to put off catch onto a hook and liner and, you know, split their catch up if they were limited or, you know, there were some other, you know, other ways that that would help, you know, avoid some, you know, some infractions there. To limit the inshore to 200 pounds of fuel, industry's not in agreement for that. We have quite a few people here that are inshore commercial hook and liners. I want to let you know that to exercise this option, if you pass it, not only will you have to have the federal permit, the inshore permit, but all of the federal equipment that goes with it, life rafts, the paperwork, that, you know, there's not going to be a great number of people that are engaged in this fishery. I really would, you know, in the name, and I think he illustrated it, the last gentleman, Mr. South, illustrated it well. You know, on the day that you can carve out 250, maybe even a 300-pound trip, I think you really need to make up for some of the short trips inshore. Also, if you take the 8 trips in 1 year, and there's 60 people that flounder fished, and we have, you know, say double that, 120 people out of the 200, I'd like to see go flounder fishing. You know, I'd like to see these people flounder fish. I'd like to see the quality product that we catch make its way onto the market, and I'll get into that later. But I really would, you know, I've worked with Jim on some things before. I support him. I support him in his request. And I heartfully ask Mr. Dawson to reconsider the 200-pound. And I ask you, please, to reconsider the 200-pound limit for the inshore fishermen. I really don't feel like it's necessary. I think that a person coming in from federal waters is going to be fairly apparent. They're going to have a lot of gear on the boat that's going to identify them as such. It'll be pretty well known that they're federal fishing in federal waters. And right now I can think of only one or two other people as well that are going to be able to engage in this fishery. Two of those are out of Virginia Beach. I don't want to take any more of your time, but again, I ask you, please, I implore you to eliminate the daily trip limit inshore and state waters for flounder. Thank you.
Thanks. Kelly?
Kelly Place, commercial fisherman. I've had the commercial hook and line license since its inception and sat on some of the task forces. I hadn't intended to speak on this particular issue because, having read the draft regulations, I had the impression that the 200-pound limit only applied to the request Mr. Dawson was making and only for federal waters and primarily to keep it from becoming a directed fishery. Is that right?
Jack, that's the way I read it.
Yeah.
So, okay, because the previous commenters and a few other comments led me to believe you were including this on the standard since 1993 commercial hook and line inshore fishery. Not so.
That's what the reg. That's correct.
In that case, that's great. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. This isn't for the regular. Otherwise, it would consign the fishery to failure. Thank
you. Lewis, did you want to say something real? Go ahead. Got it, Kelly. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
The concerns of Mr. Dawson may be real, but they're already illegal. Situations he's talking about, and all along this has been focused on that restricted summer flounder endorsement license. If you want to get that license, then you would be restricted to 200 pounds.
Okay.
That's all
right. Anyone else know that we got that clarified?
Even with Mr. Dawson's request, because he did request to have it included.
That's not been.
Yes, sir. I apologize. Yes, sir.
Thanks. Yes, sir. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Bowden.
For Mr. Dawson's request, that we take emergency action by this commission to adopt a 200-pound inside of state waters. I don't feel like there's an emergency. It would not meet any criteria. So the best case scenario, in our view, probably the worst case scenario, is if you can move forward with another public hearing and advertise it and go that direction. And I really don't see a lot of willingness of staff or me, at least, to go forward with it. You know, we know this is going to be a very limited number of people. Federal permit transfers are not easy. There's vessel qualifications. The boats have to be within a certain size. Most of your federal offshore permits are going to be for larger vessels. And this is going to be a small boat fishery, so it's going to be hard to find permit transfer. And anybody who has a federal permit knows that they're a pain because you have to fill them out every day, even if you don't even catch a species that you have a permit for. Anytime you're fishing aboard that vessel, you have to fill that permit. I think this was, we had a fairly good discussion about this at the FMAC meeting, and I think, you know, through consensus, we all were agreeable that this was the right way to go. And when the time comes, I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Further comment? Mr. Bowden.
We're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Time.
I'd like to move that we set staff recommendations and set forth the offshore fishery with the special conditions specified.
Is there a second to the motion? I've got three of them. Second. Mr. Robbins. Okay. Well, for the record, Mr. Robbins was the first one I picked up. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Bowden.